Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I am Derek. I have my regular co-host Ray with me.
Hello.
And taking the role of Ryan this evening
is irregular Ian.
I mean, hey.
Vowels or period.
Well, it's a mixture.
Whatever works for you, man. Ryan is unfortunately unable to join us this evening.
It's so sad.
We will miss him very much.
It's a hostile takeover. It's my show now.
But here's the thing. He has never missed an episode.
This is his first one.
And this is episode 72?
Yes.
I think. And if you count...
We both have missed episodes.
We have. Yes, we definitely have. And so this is... a good run for Ryan. He almost made it into syndication all by himself, but that's not going to be the case. But we miss him.
It's like Old Yeller. He had a good run. We're just going to put him down.
He had a good run.
We're taking him out to pasture.
He's going to a farm upstate.
He is.
It's a nice farm.
It is.
Yeah, where he can be with all of his friends. But anyway, so he's not going to join us tonight, but he'll be back next week, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
He's here in spirit.
He is here in spirit. And this week we are going to be talking about The Mummy, the new The Mummy.
Yes.
The new The Mummy, the movie. And Universal's new Dark Universe.
Yeah. We are casting the characters they have not.
Right.
As well as adding to it, saying what we would like. So.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
We're good. I got it.
Playback.
It's all good. It's all good. Okay, well, before we get started on that, just a couple of things. We'll hit a couple of news points, and if you haven't seen The Mummy yet, there will probably be some spoiler things in this podcast as we talk about the characters.
Don't feel like you have to rush out to see it.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and disagree that, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, like, I don't think it's as bad
rush
as...
out so these movies get more of a sequel, so, yeah. That's no reason why to rush
we'll
out.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but as far as news... is concerned.
Rest in peace, Adam West.
Yeah, Batman. He's 88, and he apparently had a bout of leukemia.
Yes, which no one really knew about.
No, I'm not sure how long he had it. But
they said it was brief, so I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't know how long brief is, but it was brief.
So that's pretty sad. I mean, he was my first live action Batman. Of course, I grew up watching the movie and the show and all that.
And as he was older, we appreciated him for Adam West. He was such a genuine and hilarious man. You know, his roles on Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
The mayor is awesome. Yeah.
Probably one of the better parts of the show, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it's
nobody messes with Adam Wee. And I mean that with all respect.
Yes.
I loved Adam West and everything I ever saw him in.
Absolutely.
So. I never thought of him dying. That's really weird to say. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he was 88, and, you know, that's a pretty good run. It's a good chunk over the national average, but it's still sad.
Very.
So that's kind of a low note, but what's on a pot? What can we swing that to a positive moving on?
I don't know if it's positive or negative yet. I'll let everybody else decide, but it's related Batman news. So in this last week, in the Batman comic itself, Batman proposed to Catwoman. And this is a big deal because Batman is portrayed as this forever bachelor. So this is kind of a big deal in my opinion.
It's kind of like how George Clooney was.
Exactly.
Not that George Clooney was a good Batman, mind you, but you know.
Right.
George Clooney
was a fine Bruce Wayne.
He was.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I'm very behind on my Rebirth readings with DC.
You subscribe to Batman, so you should end up reading this at some point.
Yeah. I'm probably a solid 6 months behind at this point. But I mean, it's interesting. I'm not sure how long it'll last, of course, because it's comic books and death doesn't last very long.
No.
So.
The thing is, they stopped it. right at that. There is no time or panel for her to say yes. So we don't even know what Selena will say. I assume that there will be a wedding because wedding issues are almost as popular as death issues. They do sell out pretty fast. They get, you know, a double issue and usually a hardcover.
Yeah,
and
maybe the Watchmen will crash the wedding.
Oh, fun.
Because they're trying to merge those two universes. Yeah. Since Watchmen's always been owned by DC, but it's been kept separate until Rebirth. So,
yes.
So that's interesting. That's definitely
It's very interesting. It's going to be a fun story for the comics. It may not be exactly what ends up lasting for a really long time, but
right.
I mean, every marriage eventually gets broken up in comics.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's why people read them. I don't want to speak for everybody, but you know,
like, I get very attached to fictional characters. So when these characters come together, I want it to last for the sake of their happiness. But I know that is not why people read a Batman comic. It's not because Bruce is a stable person.
Totally stable. Mentally, emotionally.
He has a stable credit unit.
Yeah, his credit score is a stable 900, I'm
sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
But yeah, all right. So, well, then let's move on to a bit about the Mummy. So
yeah, we all went together.
We did.
The cute little trio.
So just to kind of get the numbers out of the way, it made almost $32 million domestically.
That is not good.
No.
It's not great. To put it in perspective, Wonder Woman in its second week made 58.5, bringing its domestic total up to over 206, which is pretty awesome.
And if you guys don't know, box office numbers just depreciate. Your first weekend is your telling weekend, and it's not going to go up. No. Nobody's has ever gone up second week.
Galaxy Quest, I think, is the one that like started off really low and just basically stayed steady the entire run.
But it never
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. I just made that hand motion.
It's all right. Now, I will say that the movie has done pretty well overseas.
It's done great overseas.
Almost $141 million. So it's made $175.
Do you feel like the rest of the world knows something we don't?
Well, I think that it shows that there's different cultures. And just because the American people doesn't like something doesn't mean that it's not good entertainment.
It hit huge in China. So,
yeah, China. I mean, and that's what happened with Warcraft. Warcraft was a slam hit in China, and
not so good here.
Yeah. I liked Warcraft.
It wasn't a bad movie,
But I never got to see it. China is now going to be a really major force for box office.
For sure.
You know, there's over 1 billion people who live there, and there's more and more movie theaters every day, and it's only a matter of time before their number matters more than our number.
Yeah. And so, I completely agree. I feel like with India's giant Bollywood culture as well, it's only a matter of time before they catch up and have as big of a market. I mean, with
literally
absolutely 1 billion, 2 billion people living in one country, forced to be reckoned with.
Yes.
Now, people are really slamming Tom Cruise for this, saying this is going to be his worst opening weekend ever. It's his worst opening ever. Well, it's not. It came in 10th. If you include his cameo in Austin Powers. So it's really number 9. This was his 9th best opening. And he's been in about 30 films.
Yeah.
So it did better than 2/3 of his movies for opening weekend. So let's put that in perspective for a moment. It outdid Edge of Tomorrow, which is getting a sequel its opening weekend. Mm-hmm. So another thing, you know, just some stuff to keep in mind there. It was barely behind movies like Oblivion. And I mean, four of the top 10 are Mission Impossible films.
Right.
Right. And at this point, the cast of that's a major franchise.
It
is. You've got Lawrence Fishburne and Simon Pegg.
If Tom Cruise is looking to attach himself to another 10-year or more franchise, obviously, it looks like Mission Impossible is going to be winding down for him.
I would imagine at some point.
They're doing one more right now.
Probably could squeeze out two more before his life, he's just done with it.
Right.
You know? He just decides. I maintain that he's never going to be too old to do the things that he does because he's a demon. I believe.
It's pretty epic, the stuff that he pulls off, because he does basically all of his own stunts.
Yeah.
His stunts are pretty...
He's a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
So, I will say I have not seen all of his movies, but I can definitely say with confidence that this was better than Mission Impossible 2.
I agree. Anytime where Dougray Scott is your bad guy, you've lost me. Yeah.
So I think that some people, I don't know, I have similar feelings to this as some other franchises where I just think people wanted to not like this movie for some reason.
It's because I think they have a soft spot for the 90s Brendan Fraser movie. Which I liked when I was growing up, but I was young, and I liked that kind of humor and stuff, but so...
Stop, because they beat that franchise with a dead horse
they
between
did.
The third one with the Dragon King. That was not well done.
No, that was horrible.
Jet Li is fantastic. That was awful. They replaced... Like, Rachel Weisz jumped ship, and they replaced her
with
Maria Bello.
Who the hell is that?
Right.
And they had the Yetis who play football.
And then the Scorpion King movies.
You're not missing anything.
The Scorpion King movies. Like, those were bad, too.
Yeah.
Like, there was one... And then for some reason there were more straight to DVD. No, they're bad. They beat that franchise down, and
Yeah. And even if it wasn't, even if those were good movies, they were still 15 years ago, 20 years ago. And
why for something?
Why
new.
Do we only? Why can we only have one kind of mummy movie?
Right.
You know, we have a million superhero films.
Right.
Right. So
there's only one dependent mummy.
I actually hear that they're rebooting Tom Holland's Spider-Man in August. So
during his movie, actually, there's gonna be an intermission, and they're just gonna swap him out for somebody younger.
With be like a little fetus Spider-Man. That's
new
it.
New origin story. Like they're gonna finally reveal the truth.
Right. I'm like, wait a minute. What?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a double feature ticket?
No, but the point is that...
Do you think Emma Watson would be Aunt May at that point? Because I have to keep making her younger, so...
That'd be hilarious. Emma Watson is Aunt May.
I gotta admit, Sally Field was my favorite. She was so good.
I love her, yeah. But anyway, so...
She was a good choice.
I mean, it's time for a reboot, and, you know, it didn't do what they wanted, for sure. But they've said that they are still moving on with The Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And everything... For this dark universe, we'll rely on that movie.
Absolutely.
And that's it. If it fails, then they're going to stop it there and call it good. But if it goes beyond that, then they're going to keep on making more.
I agree.
There you go. So, without going too spoilery, quick, what did you guys think of the movie?
I'm mixed about it. I thought it had some really cool horror elements.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what these films are, by the way. They need to be horror first and action second. And I feel like the action kind of overtook in a few spots. And we forgot how scary some of these things are.
I agree.
There were, like, cons. I really didn't like that the mummies, because there were more that she created a mummy army, were pretty much just... zombies without the flesh-eating thing.
Yeah.
So that was a little disappointing. They were straight-up copied.
Their look was, kind of Walking Dead. I'm like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their look, their behavior, the whole they can lose a limb and the limb's still possessed thing.
Right, yeah.
Like
that's...
That's a little tired for me at this point. It's very cliche. Mm-hmm. But there's a fantastic scene, like, right... My favorite scene is the airplane scene. You see part of it in the trailer where he just stares at the coffin. And it looks stupid in the trailer just by that. But when you see the entire scene, it's pretty incredible. Like, the plane crashes. It's going down that part's in the trailer, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it crashes because they run into, like... thousands of crows, like a murder of crows, and they stab right through the plane windshield and like land right piercing the pilots, and it was so good. It was just good horror.
And I
liked that.
I wish there were some more kind of scary, suspenseful scenes.
I agree.
I do agree that they lost a lot of it with, you know, them picking up AK-47s and going to town.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that it was a female mummy. We haven't had that.
Oh, my gosh.
We had that in the original, but, you know.
So good.
Yes.
She's been great in everything.
She has. I haven't seen her really in a bad thing. I mean, I loved her in Kingsman.
Oh, yeah.
And
Kingsman was cool.
Star Trek. And this.
I want to see Atomic Blonde because of her. And the other
Charlize, and James
McAvoy, like the three of them are going to be good.
Oh, for sure. But it was, you know, a different kind of origin for a mummy, you know, still crept with power, but she was just brutal and didn't really care about anyone. She just wanted the power.
Yes.
The Other Mummy from the 90s was, you know, about love and, you know, getting the spirit back to the blah, 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 blah. I like this one because she was just ruthless, cunning, and she killed an infant.
She did.
The end.
I'm usually a fan of that. I really liked it when Zack Snyder shot a zombie baby in the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know why.
That was a scene I was not expecting.
Right?
Right. Like,
oh. But I actually liked it. Has there ever been a scary mummy movie?
I don't think so.
I mean, so for me, I wasn't expecting, like,
yeah, I don't think so.
Legit horror, because for me, these monsters have never really been legit horror. They're monsters.
I think that Hollywood adapted it because it creeps out white people that they were, at some point, that this culture, like, did wrapped this up, yes, and then enshrined their dead, and they didn't just dump them in the ground and forget about them.
So, no, I mean more of, you guys were expecting a horror movie with more horror aspects, but there's never been a precedent, really, for
I was expecting more of it because of the time, and because, you know, it's 2017, they can do a lot of cool stuff, but they kind of lacked on the scary bits.
I personally wanted it because I feel like out of all these movies, we've seen Dracula movies made recently, we've seen a Wolfman made recently, and they don't get a good balance of horror and action. These aren't like the crazy Paranormal Activity found footage or ghosts or things like that where you can really mess with people's minds with camera tricks. Like, you're relying on your horror to be makeup, prosthetics, and the murder that these monsters cause. Mm-hmm. So I need a good balance of the action and the horror, just me personally. And I feel like the action overtook it because of who Tom Cruise is.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. When I saw that he's the lead, it never once occurred to me that it would be a horror movie.
I knew exactly. Tom Cruise, well, there's the action. It's, yeah.
Because, I mean,
it's a different kind of horror for me. You know, it's not...
It's new age horror, maybe?
I mean, it's, I it felt like a normal... It was like a zombie movie.
And I guess I wanted some of the old with classic, like, Nosferatu kind of horror. Kind of thing where it's suspense and it's looks creepy.
I mean, you might get that in Dracula, right, but I don't think you're going to get that in The Mummy. Because The Mummy's going to have the giant sand face going through a city and flocks of birds smashing mm-hmm. into things. And
more supernatural, you know, elements, yeah, with the gods and whatever. But these movies, remember, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, when they made these movies, they terrified people.
Exactly.
They terrified them because no one has ever really done that before. There are movies, you know, that had religion in it, that questioned religion, that all this kind of stuff. And people were like, this is horrible, this is sinful, this is, you know,
and that's why everything. They were like B-C role films that just
became huge, obviously, cult classics.
It's because these monsters have been adapted into every part of our society, you know, mm-hmm. they're on little lunch pails around Halloween time that McDonald's gives out.
Kids, you know, dress
up as
them.
But they're cartoonized now.
But even if you look at vampires, look at the Underworld franchise. Like, I like the Underworld mm-hmm. movies. I haven't seen all of
them. Most of the five.
But they're not horror movies.
No.
You know, they're action movies, like Blade is, right? Those are action movies.
Somebody could sit down and argue why it's a horror film to me, and I would listen to it because... For me, there's enough gore, there's enough, like, blood and death and stuff to where I could totally consider it.
But, you get gore, blood, and death in an army movie.
Like, we're all really desensitized from a lot of stuff just based...
Like, with True Blood, I kind of consider that more horror than the Underworld movie just because it's on HBO and they can do a lot more. But that's just me.
I don't know. Over 80, 90 years... For the movies, we're totally desensitized to it. These things just aren't scary. They're cool for me.
And we think that we've seen it all. That's also why, too. Nothing really new is coming.
Well, that's why I like the twists on this one. The Mummy is very different than the Brendan Fraser ones.
She is,
and very different than what you would get with Abbott and Costello back in the day. Like, this is a different
yes.
mummy. And the motives are different. The premise is different. The tone is different. And... I thought they pulled it off well. It is no type of cinematic masterpiece, but if you walked into The Mummy thinking that you're seeing something that might be Oscar bait, we probably need to have a conversation about your expectations.
We do.
But
and people who go into this Mummy thinking, you know, it's not going to be anything like, you know, the 90s Brendan Fraser movies.
It's not.
Oh, but there's connections.
Yeah, I mean, there's some Easter eggs.
We believe it's in the same universe because there's a scene, here's a spoiler for y'all, where Lady Love Interest, I forget her name, for
Lady Love Interest.
Well, what's her Jenny. Name?
That's the one. Jenny from the block takes a book and knocks out someone, and they pan down, and the book is the Book of Death, the Book of Life.
I thought it was the Book of Life.
It's the Book of Life from the original 90s, well, not the original, but the 90s Mummy movie.
Right.
And so we're like, oh, haha.
Yeah, those might have existed in the same universe.
Yes, because remember, was back in the 30s. Yeah. You know, so I firmly believe they're in the same universe. There could be more than one mummy.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus Brendan Fraser's character is dead, so they can't call him on him for help. So, it doesn't matter.
But anyway, look, go see it for yourself. If you like monsters and you like monster movies and the
classics.
Russell
Crowe's in it, too.
Or if you like Tom Cruise, because this is a swell Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not his worst. It,
like, the only thing that I disliked is that his character has zero redemption qualities. He doesn't go through a story arc of, like, goodness.
Yeah, he kind
of
just plays it plain.
He's a jerk the entire time.
Personally, I liked it more than both Edge of Tomorrow and Oblivion.
I honestly can't even remember.
Well, Edge of Tomorrow is getting a sequel, and Oblivion did pretty well at the box office, actually. So, if you look at his top grossing films and you take out the Mission Impossible mm-hmm. movies, you know, there's only so much left in that top group that The Mummy didn't beat.
We gotta get on to our casting, guys.
Okay, so shut up, Derek. Let's move on. Why don't you tell us who they've already cast in the universe?
All right, so the current cast in the films, obviously The Mummy is played by Sofia Boutella, and Tom Cruise plays generic guy Nick Morton. At this point, even after seeing The Mummy, you have no idea what his current connection is and what they're going to do with him. So
yeah, you don't.
He is still generic hero at this point, and I say that with facts behind it, not any disdain mm-hmm. for generic heroes. That's just the case. Russell Crowe's also in the movie, and he plays Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He's doing both roles. And then the additional cast they have is Javier Bardem is doing Frankenstein's monster. Johnny Depp is doing the Invisible Man. And I'm excited about that because he's just been awful recently. So if he's going to be in a role and I don't have to see him, I'm okay with this.
Wow, that's harsh.
Johnny Depp does not hold the clout that his name used to for me. And
on certain things, yes, but I still like him as Captain Jack Sparrow.
I think it just might be the projects that he's picked recently.
That's also
true. I'm not disagreeing.
He looks good in, what is it, Murder on the Orient Express or whatever?
Yes, I am so excited
for that movie.
But then he gets killed, so, you know, it'll work for you.
Right.
But either way, if you want to see what a good trailer looks like, that doesn't give away the film, that hypes you for the film, Murder on the Orient Express. Just check out that trailer.
I never thought I was going to be interested in anything by Agatha Christie, because mystery is just not my thing.
I love mysteries, but I mean, great cast.
Yeah.
Great cast, fantastic trailer. So I am psyched.
Yeah.
So, anyway. And then, so that's all they've cast, right?
That's all they've cast at this point.
Now, we do know that they're going to, the next movie is The Bride of Frankenstein.
So obviously she's going to be in there. I would assume Victor and Igor are going to be in there too.
Now, it does seem a little interesting to do The Bride of Frankenstein this early.
Before Frankenstein.
I assume the monster will already exist?
I'm going to assume that as well.
If they're going by the book and somewhat of the original movie, then yeah, he kind of has to exist.
I mean, the bride wasn't in the book.
Right.
And the bride was...
not the bride, but...
Yeah.
But,
anyway. I know. It's complicated.
It's Madeline Kahn's character.
It is.
Read the Wikipedia.
Madeline Kahn will always be my Bride of Frankenstein.
She's fantastic.
But yeah, she wasn't in the original book, but obviously, you know, they did a sequel because Frankenstein did so well, and she's so popular because she is really the only classic universal horror female monster.
Yes, absolutely.
And now The Mummy.
And now, well, yes, but that's not the classic.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
There were multiple Brides of Dracula, but it was never
we didn't care about them.
Well, it was never the same character.
That's true. Yeah, it was all different, people, basically. So do you want to start off with the casting of her?
Yeah, let's do it.
I can go first.
Okay.
Since Javier Bardem is Frankenstein's monster, I cast his wife, Penelope Cruz. I thought it was adorable, and I think she'd be awesome as a monster.
I didn't know they were married.
They are married.
I forget they're married half the time,
but
yes.
And I think they're really cute together.
They are cute. My pick, however, is the pick that is kind of in the rumor mill right now, yeah. Which is Angelina Jolie.
She's great, too.
And... yeah, she would be great as, I was saying Maleficent. She already is Maleficent. She would be great as the Bride of Frankenstein. That is, however, if she doesn't take up, you know, the role that she might be rumored for in X-Men. So,
yeah.
We don't know. But I would love to see her as the Bride of Frankenstein. Because that is my favorite movie monster. The monster, she's in it for 5 minutes of the film, and then she gets blown up.
Yeah.
So, to see it and flesh out that character, I think she could do a real justice to it.
I agree. She's... an award-winning actress, mm-hmm. So it's...
And she's good with that kind of character stuff.
Absolutely. She is a character actor, yes. As well as a dramatic actor.
Jordan in chat wants it to be Helena Bonham Carter.
I can see that.
I would love that,
too. He says, as long as Tim Burton's not directing.
I would love
that. Which I agree with that, yes. Stipulation.
She and her ex have a good working relationship.
They do.
But they are not on, like, good personal terms. So.
Right, but I just don't, like, at this point, I'd like to see her doing other stuff of different styles than Tim Burton's style. Tim Burton has a very specific style.
Well, mm-hmm. Here's the issue why she's not going to even be associated with this. She was in the 1990s Robert De Niro.
And that's exactly why. I picked her at first, but then I thought, oh no, they're not going to do that because she was Elizabeth Frankenstein.
I forgot she was in that.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
She was already connected to the Frankenstein. Right.
I would love her to be in it, but that's exactly why.
Okay.
Same reason why we're not going to get Cloris Leachman. Like, it sucks. But...
as the Bride of Frankenstein?
No. In it. Like...
the hookah.
Some vol milk, perhaps?
So...
who was yours?
Yeah.
Mine was Kate Beckinsale.
Ooh, she would look so hot.
Right? I don't think she would do it, though, because I think she wants to kind of get away from the monster movies.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. She wouldn't be, like, the action lead like she's been in the Underworld. It would be a different
role. The Bride of Frankenstein isn't going to have, like, a 9mm and start shooting up.
And, like, I don't think so. And, like, you know, skin-tight black leather. And
with her
that.
Hair in the lightning streaks? No,
yeah.
Okay.
It's still horror-based, but it's a very different kind of role. So.
Absolutely.
I could see her in that, too. She would be cool.
Yeah. That'd be mine.
But, yeah, I'm good with that. So let's do our Victor and our Igors next.
Okay.
I went with Michael Fassbender for Victor because
He's on my list, too.
He's on my list as well, but not
for
this character.
Yeah, not
for this character.
Not for mine either.
All right, so once I saw Alien Covenant and Prometheus, I was like, man, this guy just wants to create life. He can do the messed up doctor. So.
I can see
I took it as he just wants to be really creepy in movies.
Well,
that also is a good point.
So I picked him.
Okay.
All right, so for my Victor, I chose Vern Gorman.
I don't know who that is.
Pacific Rim, the scientist of Charlie Day.
Interesting.
Okay.
You had to think, but you're like,
he was in
Dark Knight Rises. He was one of Bane or whatever Falcone's henchmen.
Falcone?
What Bane or Falcone? That's Bane's last name. You didn't know that. It's Bane Falcone.
You learn something new every day, kids.
Jordan's going to rip you in.
Right. He has that look of Victor Frankenstein, very much of the original, and he has that manic scientist.
Because
I just watched Pacific Rim recently, and I went, oh, he would be really good as Henry Frankenstein, or Victor Frankenstein, whatever you want to call him. He has, you know, he's very obsessive with what he was doing with Pacific Rim. He has that, you know, sense of pride and sense of, you know, this is right and I'm right. And Victor Frankenstein very much had that. You know, he shut off the whole entire world and created a monster and, you know, went against God. So I think that he could do some real cool things with that.
Okay. I absolutely agree.
Cool. So I went with Jude Law.
Oh, I can see that.
That's interesting.
So I was trying to keep, and you'll probably notice, is most of my actors are roughly the same age.
Yes. Okay. I did the same thing.
So, yeah.
I did.
And I kind of kept them not not old, of course, but older than what, like, maybe prime Hollywood would do with a new franchise.
Late 30s, early 40s, kind of 50s, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at early to mid 40s mostly for my cast, except for a couple others. But yeah, so Jude Law, obviously a talented, accomplished actor, you know, same age as Kate, and I think they'd play off each other really well, and he'd be able to play the intellectual but a little couple bolts loose kind of scientist guy.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
I did. Yeah. That would be kind of cool, actually. Jude Law, huh?
Yeah.
And I mean, last thing I saw him in, and I did see it, was the King Arthur, and that was just an abomination, so... He's good with that abomination stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so Jordan says Benedict Cumberbatch, and I have to say that was my first choice.
He's on my list too, but not for that role.
I changed it because once I put him in that role, I could not picture anybody but Martin Freeman in the role of Igor.
All right, done. And podcast over. That is who it is. That's it.
That would be fun.
Universal, do it.
Yep. Like, I immediately just pictured, well, it's Sherlock and Watson. That's right. All it is.
Yeah. Essentially.
So I specifically didn't pick Benedict Cumberbatch because I thought he would just play it too much like Sherlock.
See?
Okay.
It's
so I didn't think of the Martin Freeman thing, but you're right. They would have to cast Martin Freeman in the movie, right? So,
yeah.
Like, he was cast in the Avengers, and then all of a sudden Martin Freeman's in there too.
Right?
And
he's like, just gonna sneak in.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm fine with that.
Cast in The Hobbit, and then all of a sudden Benedict Cumberbatch is a dragon. They have to be in the movie together.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. I love those guys.
My Igor is Dane DeHaan.
Who the hell is that?
Dane DeHaan is the Green Goblin in Amazing Spider-Man 2. He's Harry Osborn.
I thought about him for Igor. I really
did. He's also in Valerian.
I just couldn't think of his name.
And honestly, and this is so not nice of me because I'm sure there's some fangirl out there that just loves him, but he's got a messed up face, and that's why
I... It is kind of mean.
But it's also kind of true.
It's still mean.
This is why we have a show.
Yeah, this is terrible. Exactly. But I can see where it's not like it can work for him.
Evil,
I can see what you're going with.
He can play maniacal, but I just don't think he's at the age where he's the lead yet. So that's why.
Okay.
I thought he could work back and forth. Like, he can be more manic, whereas Michael Fassbender could be the calm
voice
psychotic.
Of reason. Yeah.
Okay.
I can. All right. I'm with you on that one too. I'm stealing your Igor.
Oh, yeah, because you had a hard time with that.
Yeah, I'm still debating on Dracula, too.
So, okay, well,
I hear Dracula, I might steal your Dracula.
My Igor, so my hardest ones to cast were Igor and the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and I felt like this guy could do both really well, but the guy I'm picking for Hunchback I don't think would be right for Igor. So, for Igor, I am going with Andy Serkis.
He's on my list too, but he's not. We have a lot of
So, and I don't want him to just be himself. I do want him to look different, whether that's prosthetics or doing some type of mocap with CGI to make him look different. I love practical effects,
right?
So that would be my preference, of course.
Yes,
but obviously Andy Serkis is incredibly good at moving in different ways that are not, you know, your standard everyday person movements. All the work he's done with Caesar and the Planet of the Apes movies and things like that, I think would lead himself to being perfect for the Igor role.
I think that's really good, actually. I like yours a lot better.
Yeah, thank you. Usually I get made fun of during the fan cast, so I'm doing pretty well.
Well, I'm not Ryan, so it's okay. So, who's next?
Van Helsing? Right, so, yeah, we're done with Bride of Frankenstein. We can move on to the Dracula films with the Harkers.
We ran next door to the Harkers.
Van Helsing and Dracula himself.
All right.
All the others would be their own individual movies.
So, I have the Harkers. So, this is... I debated on this a lot for Mina because she doesn't get turned into a vampire. She just gets seduced and... saved.
Right. Like, there's so many different variations of Mina where she's a vampire or where she's not, or where she stays with Dracula, where she goes back with Jonathan. So they could make her a really cool focus of it, or they could just let her be a good part of the movie.
Right. So my Jonathan Harker is Michael Fassbender.
Thank you.
Huh.
And my Mina is Anne Hathaway.
Oh,
that's
I like
cute.
Her.
And I mean, Anne Hathaway.
I'd watch them make out.
We right? We've seen her play, you know, the kawaii kind of fun character with Catwoman. We've seen her do some really, you know, dramatic stuff with Les Mis. Did you guys see Monster or whatever?
Colossal.
Colossal, yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah. Colossal was fun.
She was great with that.
It was interesting.
She, you know, played some humor in that and depression and, you know, I think that she, if she did turn into a vampire, she'd be a kick-ass vampire.
Yes.
But I like Anne Hathaway and Michael Fassbender together.
Cool.
I picked Gal Gadot and Bradley Cooper.
Fascinating.
Interesting.
With the goal that eventually she becomes the Bride of Dracula and gets her own movie.
Okay.
And eventually in 2025, there's a team up between Bride of Frankenstein and Bride of Dracula and
Wonder Woman.
It's like a Thelma and Louise thing. It's fantastic.
But they can't die in the end.
No, they jump off the cliff, but they're still like, cool.
I know, they gotta like put their arm back up and like, alright, let's go.
No, not really.
Would you have her keep her accent?
Yes.
Interesting.
I think that would be a cool... Yeah?
Yeah. Her accent's adorable.
I love her accent. Yeah. I mean, I was just asking.
It's
such a question.
Beautiful Mediterranean accent. Like,
yeah, it is. Lots of actors change their accents for movies. Right, you're
totally
know,
right.
Lots of Australian
actors. Her accent's
actors.
So thick, I don't know if she can change her accent. It's so predominant with her.
I mean,
I
mean, she could. But...
I don't know. If you listen to like Hugh Jackman or Hugo Weaving talk normally,
yes, that's true.
And then you see, watch
or Hugh Laurie,
or yeah, Hugh Laurie,
yeah,
yeah,
that's amazing.
Exactly. Like, they
when he first
people
spoke,
can
I'm
do
like,
it.
What?
Yeah, it's not everybody's good at it, of course.
Right.
You know, but it can be done. So,
but Bradley Cooper, I think, is a fantastic actor. And I also think that people are still so focused on, like, Hangover and Rocket that they forget that he has been up for Oscar after Oscar after Oscar.
That's
true. And he's also really good at playing the everyman, the vanilla character you need. And unfortunately, Jonathan Harker is
he's pretty
vanilla.
He could just, like,
well, I was
vanilla.
Just thinking he'd be great as Victor Frankenstein because he can make the I need that guy's leg joke.
That would be funny if he did that. That would be hilarious
if he
did that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, sorry, Byrne Gorman. It's Bradley Cooper now.
So anyway, I did not
I love that.
What is this? Oh, Bride of Frankenstein plus Bride of Dracula plus The Mummy equals Universal Sirens. That's pretty good. I like that.
That's
that
cool,
was Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan in our Twitch chat.
Hi, Jordan.
Don't forget, guys, you can join us live on Twitch every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts.
Yes.
Yes, you can chat with us live, as you can see. And, you know, we if it's relevant to what we're talking about, then we'll definitely note it.
Absolutely. I love it. Great job, Jordan.
I didn't do the Harkers.
That's fine. You don't have to.
I just skipped over
you
in the list.
You sent me the list that said do the Harkers and you didn't do them?
I didn't. It's my bad.
It was
to be fair, though, I still had an Igor. So so let's go with Van Helsing. So for my Van Helsing, I have Gerard Butler.
Ooh. I love Gerard Butler.
I'm a big fan of him. He's a good. I think he's a good, strong action star. And I think that in this universe, Van Helsing has to be kind of tough. He's got to be gritty, he's got to be strong and powerful, and I think that Gerard obviously can pull that off.
Absolutely.
So,
see, I went the opposite. I went with Van Helsing being older, because he's been through a lot of stuff. But I have two options for Van Helsing. One that's like, not, I don't want to say super old, but one is older, which
Morgan
is...
Morgan Freeman.
No. he'd be cool, though. I said Ian McKellen. Because he can play, you know, the wise Van Helsing, the very, you know, teacher, not necessarily get in the grit, you know, with, you know, saws on their arms like Hugh Jackman did. But, and then another one, kind of at the end, other inspection, which was Christoph Waltz.
Interesting.
I love him. He is awesome.
Yeah. So
I would sign up for that movie.
I think both of them can really do some cool things with the character, depending on what they do with it. You know, Anthony Hopkins played him brilliantly in the Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I think Ian McKellen or Christoph Waltz could do it.
Those are very good choices. I was kind of picturing him more like the character from the Legends of Tomorrow on the CW.
I get that.
And is Van Helsing on there?
He is on a few episodes, yeah.
Oh.
And kind of playing off of that style, I think that Gerard Butler obviously could basically do that character. But a little, no offense to that actor, but do it a little bit more prominence, you know. So.
Agreed.
What about you?
Michael B. Jordan. I went for
someone
really
super
young.
He is very young.
I went with someone young, but he's completely capable of gritty acting. We saw that in Creed. He's a huge badass. He's in incredible shape. And it's not often you see a black person be the hero, the one you're supposed to root for, the one taking down the monsters. So that's kind of where I was going with that. I love my cast to be diverse. I try to have many ethnicities in there. So
I have all white people.
I was trying very hard to avoid that. So
I was too, but I'm just trying to think. I didn't even think about him. That's interesting.
I love him.
I mainly base my cast off of the original actors who played the roles.
That's smart.
So, that's kind of how I did too. And
yeah, but yeah, I like what you. I love Michael B. Jordan. I think he's awesome. The fact that like Creed, if you're a Rocky fan at all, go pick up Creed. Like it's just so good. So that's cool. That's a good choice.
Thank I
like
you
that.
Very much.
That's very. I didn't even think about that. I like that.
So last one, Dracula.
Should I go for that?
Say, don't look at me first.
You can do that. I just went the other way.
Confirm. Yep. Yep.
Michael Fassbender.
We all had.
Michael Fassbender would be my Dracula. I think that it would pull a lot from his David character from Prometheus and Alien Covenant as far as a vocal tone and kind of speaking style kind of thing, right? But he's still physically strong and relatively young, which is important, I think, for Dracula since he doesn't really age,
right?
You know, and things like that. So I think he would just be really strong for that role.
Absolutely. I'm good with it. I went with Oscar Isaac.
That's good.
That's interesting. Yeah.
That gentleman is a very imposing man. That's why he gets chosen for the roles that he is. That's why he was cast as Apocalypse, because he has a booming voice, because he commands a presence when he's there. And he's incredibly handsome, and that's part of Dracula's seduction is just how attractive he is. So I figured this would be a really cool role
for him. I have Dracula. I just thought about it.
Is it Oscar Isaacs?
No,
it is
not. Lee Pace.
Oh, he's so hot.
Interesting choice.
He has, when you said commanding voice, I immediately went, Lee Pace. Because of Thranduil.
Thranduil.
That's the one.
Smaug.
It's Smaug.
Smaug. He has such a commanding presence on screen. And he's beautiful to look at.
He really is.
He has cheekbones for days.
It really sucks that they just covered in black goo in Guardians of the Galaxy, and they're like, we're going to do nothing with you and kill you off.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
I think he would be a very cool Dracula.
I'm good with that.
Draculia. But I mean, I'm still partial to, you know, Gary Oldman. That's just me.
Absolutely. It's difficult to not be partial to Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman's awesome.
Right? So next.
Okay, so now we have just three more, guys.
The randoms.
Creature, Phantom, Hunchback, and then our surprise at the end that we picked. So
let's
Creature.
Creature from Black Lagoon, okay.
So for me, I wanted to go with somebody who I thought would be completely comfortable being in makeup and a suit like that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's Doug Jones.
Yep, that's what. Yep.
Nice.
It would be, you know, what he'd have to go through would be very similar to
Abe
in the Hellboy movies, right? Yeah. So as far as the rigor of the filming process, I feel like he's already been through it.
Yeah.
And I think that could be really tough for people because he's going to have to wear basically a bodysuit with a bunch of prosthetics and all the stuff on his face and things like that.
Very similar to what he did with Abe.
Yeah, I think he'd be perfect for that. And I appreciate those types of character actors. It is not an easy thing to do to disappear into roles, right? You've got your Tom Cruises and your Robert De Niro's and Jack Nicholson's, and you love to go see them because of them.
Because of their face.
Right?
Jack Nicholson be the creature from the Black Lagoon?
Maybe like 30 years ago. But Doug Jones is one of those character actors that really disappears into the roles, and that is intense acting. And he pulls that stuff off really well in costumes that are not going to be easy to wear.
Yeah. And he's like, pinky thin. So
he is a thin guy, which I think works well for an aquatic kind of creature that
they develop a weird body style.
Hence, they do.
Michael Phelps. He has like the body of a shark. He's giant up top and he's itty bitty down below.
Yeah.
He makes a steak. Just a steak? A pizza slice, like a steak.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I get it.
She's doing the Buffy's vampire killing motion for those who are just listening to the show.
I chose Sam Claflin from Hunger Games and Me Before You and everything.
You're going to have to refresh my memory a little bit.
He was Finnick.
He's Finnick. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
He's used to being in the water, too.
his character was supposed to be. They only did that once. Yeah. But I chose him because I also figure they're going to do more of a backstory, that we're not going to just get this weird creatures in the water. No explanation as to why he wants to kidnap this white woman. Like, no, I assume we're getting some background and motivation and stuff like that. And so we'll see him as a human.
I thought he just thought she was hot.
You have pretty skin, not scaly skin. I want you.
To be fair, that's like half of Hollywood.
That is true.
Some person thinks another person's hot. That's
and then
the
they
movie.
Kidnap them.
I figured there'd be moments where he would be out of prosthetics and makeup and stuff like that.
Really?
And
you thought he'd look human?
Yes.
That's what I kind of went with mine too.
I feel like at some point they will show this person.
Or like a transformation of some kind. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it started with on The Mummy already. They opened the movie with
her.
As a human.
I always took it that the creature was just a creature. I never took him to actually be a human.
I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Just thinking outside the box.
You're just like blowing my mind here. Like, I never thought about it that way. In my mind, it was like Godzilla or something, right? Where this is that creature. That's just what it is. And
it's a mutation from war of some kind. Yeah.
I mean, there's some humanoid aspects to it because it's got two legs and two arms like we do. But outside of that, it has nothing to do with us.
Correct.
So I never thought about it being a person.
Hmm. Fair enough.
So mine is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Say that again.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay, you're still not saying the first name correctly.
Khan!
Yeah, him.
Okay, anyway. You're
calling Khan. Benedict?
No.
Benedict. Like Eggs Benedict?
No, whatever, him. he already looked kind of like an alien and otherworldly, so...
I like to think that he's the middle of an Animorphs transformation. Not the beginning, not the end.
The nice, like,
middle.
Opaque middle.
All the Cumberbatch hate. I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
No, I do too, and that's why I chose him.
He's a good actor. I don't think he's an attractive man. That's just not me.
Well, he's
going to
be covered up for a lot of the movie. but I think he could do some really cool stuff with motion capture.
Absolutely.
Mixed with
like
prosthetics.
His experience with Smaug.
And Dormammu. He was Dormammu.
He was talking to himself. In
Doctor
Strange.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I've come to bargain.
Right. I'm like, who?
Death.
I think that, he has a very, again, kind of commanding voice. And he does some very cool impressions. I don't know if you've seen him on talk shows, but he has some really cool voices on there. He can, the creature never once spoke a word.
Nope.
Right.
So.
Which I assume is going to change as well.
Yes, and that's why I chose him as well, because he can do some very cool things with his voice.
I agree with that.
And his body movements, and, he has a very commanding presence, and I think that he could do it.
So, Phantom.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Why?
Why?
Because he can sing.
No. You back that up right now.
This is not Phantom of the Opera.
You said
as in,
this isn't.
It's not the
Andrew Lloyd Webber. Though.
No, this is the original. The original was not a musical. It was a horror film.
The 1930s, based
so
off of
the. So who was the Phantom of the Opera?
Lon Chaney.
Yeah.
No, not the actor. The character.
He was just a creep in the rafters with a messed up face.
He wasn't an ex-performer.
No.
He might have been an ex-performer, but they didn't. That wasn't the whole story.
But the creature doesn't speak in the original movie, and you guys are having him speak. He was an ex-performer, so I assumed that he could sing.
Well, maybe, but he's not just gonna. I think that would be too much like the what was it 90s movie that was.
Wait. I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure we're clear here. You guys want to show an origin of the creature where he's a human, but me wanting to show the Phantom of the Opera singing is crazy.
Do you mean singing like the whole entire movie?
No.
That's what I thought you meant at first.
No, that's like when you see him as like a normal person, he's a performer and he's singing.
Okay.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt can sing and he's also a really strong actor.
Okay. I thought you meant in 2004, like a whole musical version of this.
No, not an entire musical, but I want him to be able to sing because the character, from what I understood of his origin, was an ex-performer who could sing. in okay. the opera.
That's fine.
So Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I think that he's a very strong actor. I think that when he wants to, he can really pull off the creepy kind of Stranger Danger vibe. I think he can definitely do that. And I think he would be an A-list name to bring to the role.
Okay. Well then.
But I'm crazy.
No, you're not crazy. I chose Jonathan Rhys Meyers. He is from The Tudors. He played Henry VIII. He is from...
How long has he been in? That name sounds really familiar.
Okay, so he was
I know we've seen something in it
terrible Mortal Instruments, the City of Bones movie.
Who was he?
He was like the dad thing.
Oh, yeah. The dad thing?
I don't know what it was.
I know what you're talking about. Yes, now I know what you're talking movie. About. Yes. I know you're
The Wikipedia had made it sound awful.
It was awful.
So, but he's a damn good actor. If you watch The Tudors, he was even on the NBC Dracula movie, which or TV show, which was fantastic. And he's a very attractive man, so seeing half his face gone would be very tragic for me, and I could totally believe that. But he was my number one pick for Batman, too, because Henry Cavill was also on The Tudors, and the two of them had such a great rapport that I wanted to see the two of them be...
Duke it out.
Yeah. Anyway, Ben Affleck's doing great, so they're not going to replace him. Anyway...
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
We're doing the fan, right? Okay, yeah. So I chose Andy Serkis.
Ooh.
I think that, you know, he's done some prosthetic work and he's also done motion capture work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go into it thinking that he would ever sing.
That's fair.
I did not go into it.
I don't know if Jonathan Rhys Meyers can sing or not. So
I did not go into it because I thought, you know, because the
high. Wasn't the original Phantom of the Opera a silent film?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, right. 1925.
So, okay, I'm just making sure.
And I had the hardest time trying to think of the Phantom at first because I think, like, okay, who can sing? Who can sing? But then I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't the musical. This is supposed to be the horror movie of it.
Right.
And Andy Serkis can do some terrifying stuff with his voice and his facial movements and. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily go as far as saying the Phantom should be motion capture, because I think that would be too...
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
It's not necessary. All of that's really messed up is his face.
Yeah.
But I think that Andy Serkis can play the level of creepiness and level of stalking, and that sounds really bad that I'm... think that's what Andy Serkis does. He doesn't stalk, I don't think.
No, but he's good. I mean, think about it. He played... He played Gollum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? He's played Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's played some very intense emotional roles. Yes. He can pull that off really well.
Very.
When you can't see his face. Right. So you need that.
So I think covering him in prosthetics will be cool. And, you know, he can do some very physical stuff too. Maybe we can make the Phantom just, you know, really muscular and berserk.
I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. So last one before we get to our surprises is Hunchback, which...
I'm going to have to really sell you guys on this one, I think.
Oh, no.
How do you guys feel about being in this?
It's actually gotten, I read online recently, it's gotten some hate from the disabled community.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're saying just because someone is a hunchback or someone is, you know, deformed does not make them a monster.
I completely agree. Now, in the book... Not in the Disney movie,
which is super dark, by the way.
It is. But he is a very sympathetic soul in that movie.
He is.
In the book, he's a creepy stalker that's in love with the gypsy, and when she dies, he kind of lays on top of her dead corpse until he dies, too. Like, he's a weirdo, don't get me wrong, but he's a weirdo because he's never been socialized before, because he's never been around. Because
the product of how he was...
Exactly. So he's not a weirdo because of how he looks. He's a weirdo because of how he was raised.
But I can see how they're, you know, taking offense to that greatly. I can totally see that.
So I was going to take it in a very different direction because of that. Because I want this to be done in a positive way that can be fun for people. And so I wasn't going to have him be, you know, like a... Specifically like a grotesque or disabled person. I was going to have him be more of monstrous in the sense that he's... big and hulking.
That's how mine is too.
But because he's not socialized, I wanted to give him a sense of humor about things. And when I was reading about it a little bit more, because I never saw the Disney movie, when I was reading about it, that was during an era of Disney that I missed a lot of stuff.
I will say, two of the songs
are very creepy.
Well, no, the hellfire, yes, that is frightening. But I was more saying that God Help the Outcast and Out There are two of the best songs that came out of that entire decade.
So I wanted the character, I was reading a bit about how, like, you know, he talks to the gargoyles and stuff like that. And I don't want that to come off as he's insane. I wanted to come off of more of like kind of funny off the wall, like, you know, when the genie's talking to the audience, right, Aladdin kind of thing, you know, I wanted it to be fun, and I still wanted there to be some music involved, because I think the character should, you know, sing a little bit to keep himself occupied and things like that. So I wanted somebody who has a talented voice, is a talented character, actor, who does voices and things like that. So I went with Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, no.
Oh, nope.
Not.
Why not?
Because Seth MacFarlane is a joke.
Why?
He is a joke of an actor.
I don't think he could be a hunt. I don't know.
No.
Why?
I don't think he would fit in this universe.
But why?
Because I said so.
I'm giving you reasons why I think it would work.
I
need reasons why it doesn't. Now, I will say this. I don't think he's just going to stand there in clothes. I think they're going to have to, you know, maybe do some mocap or something to make him look bigger and things like that.
He did voiceover for Klaus in Hellboy 2, and it was the only role of his that I have enjoyed.
Did he do Klaus?
He did.
Really?
That's the only role of his you've ever enjoyed.
I didn't know that. Yes. That's interesting.
But you used to like Family Guy.
As a whole, yeah, but I never really liked... He did most of
those voices.
I never really liked his, so...
But he's a lot of those characters. He's not just Peter and Brian, you know?
No, I know. He's Stewie and he's Quagmire and he's a lot of extras, but...
Okay, all right, well...
I don't see him being able to carry that role on his shoulders. I don't see him stepping up to the plate and doing it justice.
I'm going to disagree. We disagree with you. He's been in the business for a long time. He's had several very successful shows. He's had successful films.
To me, he's just more of a comedic personality. He is not a monster. A great on
character. But that's why I'm saying that I think this character would need to be a little bit different, a little bit brighter. He would be one of the bright spots of the Dark Universe.
And depends on where they're taking it to.
You have to make the character somewhat sympathetic unless you want him to be the villain.
Right. Which, that could be an interesting
And the thing is, these movies... They were the first movies to have the antagonist be the titular character.
True, but I was thinking that, like, Bride of Frankenstein, she's probably not the bad guy.
Right.
So I was kind of going the same route with this one for The Hunchback of Notre Dame. I don't think he's the bad guy. I think he's like Frankenstein's monster who's misunderstood and chased because people don't understand him and he doesn't understand the world. But he's not a bad guy like the Mummy is or Dracula. Right?
Can be played either way, which is going to be interesting how they do it.
And since we don't know, that was the direction I decided to go. Okay. I wanted him to be a sympathetic... Not necessarily hero, sympathetic anti-hero maybe, but a sympathetic character who means well in a world that doesn't understand him. And I think that in that context, Seth MacFarlane works.
That's how I was kind of thinking of mine, but mine I did more muscular build because I picked Ron Perlman.
Two Hellboy actors.
Yes.
Ron Perlman's awesome. That would be a very... different character.
It would be, and...
Talking about two completely different movies right now.
Yes, he is used to, you know, makeup and prosthetic work, obviously, with Hellboy. I did think of him as kind of a sympathetic character that no one understands. He doesn't understand the world and why the world is what it is. And I think Ron Perlman can play that. He was on the live-action TV show Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
And he played the Beast kind of like that.
He did.
And, you know... Since I don't necessarily have him as a hunchback, I have him kind of muscular, but too muscular for his own good, so he's kind of deformed in that sense.
I get that. You know, to me, I pictured somebody like the character in 300 Sparta.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
The one that betrays them and tells them of the goat pass.
But it's like all muscular up top and they have like really skinny legs down. Yeah. I kind of pictured that as well, and... I pictured him, you know, muscular and heavy, too, because he's ringing the bells all day, so that, you know, arm muscles, and he's, you know, carrying stuff up, you know, the whole cathedral and what have you.
I did have mine being larger than the normal person is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think we're all going to, yeah, so I picked Ron Perlman.
I honestly am still kind of against this being in there. I just don't feel like it belongs. There's a lot of novels that came out around the Gothic era time that, you know, Les Miserables doesn't belong in the monster universe. We don't have to include all of them in right. here. So
I think this is just Universal throwing everything they own the rights to.
Into I agree.
If they
I
could
agree.
Throw the Hulk in, they would.
I you agree. You know, so I'm kind of at a loss for it. I picked Tom Hardy because of his role in Bronson.
Okay.
And he was just a very intimidating, scary man. And these are supposed to be monster movies. So I didn't really plan, like, am I going to have him deformed? Am I going to have him extremely large? Is he going to be a creeper? I didn't go too much into it because I'm still not sure I want him even in there. But Tom Hardy's a damn good actor, and he can do a lot with a physical role. So that's my only reasoning behind it.
Okay. That's fair. So our secret, or not secret character, our surprise.
So we were able to pick one that was...
Because I was thinking going upstairs, because I didn't have one, but... So, the one character that we have not seen yet in, like, a Universal film is kind of a creepy witch.
I picked a creepy witch as well.
Do they own the rights to any witches?
Well, I don't know. They, like, a witch lives in a swamp. I want to see kind of one of those...
Get out of the swamp, you kids!
Here's the thing. A witch is an open source character.
Yes.
And you can...
I know.
They're trying to use their characters.
Right. They own the rights.
And that's just
to,
it. Like, since this is an open source character that nobody really has a pinpointed, it has to look like this kind of witch.
The only people that have that's kind of, you know, MGM, and that's with Wizard of Oz. So.
And now Disney owns it.
Yes.
But with a witch, you're bringing in straight up magic.
That is true, and there could be some kind of magic in this. I mean, there is...
I'm okay with some of it.
There was magic in The Mummy.
That's not magic, that's a god.
Well,
so...
But it could be interpreted as magic.
Unless the witch is praying to a deity that provides her power.
Which, that's what I'm getting to. I'm thinking this is like kind of like a... Not witch doctor, necessarily, but, you know, very voodoo-based, very, you know, dark hexes... And, you know,
very black magic.
It's going to sound weird. And the person's very young and very beautiful. But I picked Lupita Nyong'o because she's gorgeous.
My God. Sorceress witch with Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes. So, okay.
I did not go that route.
I chose her because she has this beauty. And to make her a witch would be so cool.
Right.
Okay.
Because with these monsters, you play up their seductive qualities, but you also ugly them up a bit because they're still villains. Mm-hmm. Like, and I picked Lupita for many reasons. She's very talented.
Yes.
She won an Oscar already.
Yes.
Like, her first major role.
I love her voice.
She has a great voice. I mean, she's Maz Kanata, which is so cool.
Right.
She's absolutely gorgeous. And I wanted another person of color in there. Mm-hmm. I wanted another female, too, so...
This is why we have our own show together. This is why.
But I...
I miss Ryan.
I honestly thought that it would be more blood-based. There's a ton of witches and covens and things that,
with
you
blood,
know,
magic and
involve
dark, yeah.
hurting people. Like, Dracula isn't magic, but he's also a supernatural kind of immortal creature. And, you know... Frankenstein's monster, it's not magic, it's sci-fi, so it all kind of mixes together.
Okay.
So I didn't necessarily think swamp witch, but yeah, I definitely wanted
or like
some
a witch
sort
in the woods
of
some
dark,
kind,
yeah,
or a dark okay. castle, yeah.
I was trying to keep in the confines of the Universal characters.
I totally get that.
So I decided to, because I was having a hard time picking somebody from their list, I thought that maybe I would just connect the universe a little bit better. So I have...
Did you pick Hulk?
I did not
you
pick
the
Hulk.
Wolfman?
I did not. No, Wolfman isn't that... isn't there
we didn't pick a Wolfman.
I thought they cast a Wolfman.
No. We didn't pick Wolfman.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
He was on the list because I thought he was cast already.
Who's really hairy that's an actor?
Oh, my God. We have to come up with a Wolfman. Like,
well, if I had to pick a Wolfman right now, then it would be Ron Perlman.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Actually. Ron Perlman would be my Wolfman. I thought he was already cast,
no,
so that's my
he
mistake.
He was not. That's totally my
My fault. Character, though, my surprise character, is to kind of help expand the universe a little bit and take the lead from what they were doing in The Mummy, and that was to have Dwayne Johnson reprise his role as the Scorpion King. but not have it done the way they did it in the 90s. Not have him actually be half
not
Scorpion.
Not really crappy CGI.
But yeah, not like that. But legitimately, like, he is a huge presence. He is a fun actor. He is a huge box office draw.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already kind of hinted that those movies exist in the same universe, and this would just cement that. And maybe he breaks out Sophia Boutella's mummy, who's, you know, still alive.
I definitely got the feeling from the movie that they're bringing her back.
Right?
Like, maybe they're not anytime soon, but they're putting her on ice.
She's on, yeah.
She's Han and Carbonite right now.
So imagine if The Rock broke her out and you've got her and the Scorpion King.
That would be interesting. But he's also, funny fact, he's rumored to be the Wolfman, if they cast the Wolfman. He's their front runner for Wolfman. But
my Wolfman would be Idris Elba.
Oh yeah! All right.
It's like my goal is to cast Idris Elba in everything we do.
Why didn't I think of that? Because I think because you had said Ron Perlman, that was probably in my head. Idris Elba, yes.
Yeah, he would be a very
Benicio
cool
del Toro. That movie was underrated. Ghostly Wolfman. It was so good. Oh, I loved the Benicio del Toro movie.
Yeah,
that had a really.
I like the Jack Nicholson one from way back.
Yeah, that was good too.
What was Jack Nicholson of Wolfman?
I can't even remember the title of the movie now. It was a very long time ago.
Was he the werewolf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did it with very little prosthetic work too.
Pre-Batman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This was a long time ago.
Wow.
So,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But all right.
All right.
Well, that's us. Let us know what you guys think of our castings. Let us know who you think should be in the Dark Universe. Tell us what you thought of The Mummy and if you're excited for Bride of Frankenstein. Next week, we are going to be talking about our top favorite all-time fantasy, live-action fantasy films.
Absolutely. Frequent guest Robert McCullough joins us. Coming up on Costume Couture, we have a interview with another Castle Creations, Lydia Hartwell and the Joaquin Farnsworth. And then on Gamer Heroes, what are you guys doing?
E3 coverage. It's E3 this week. Tons of stuff from Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo, Sega, you name it. We did a bunch of predictions last week. So
Sega's still a thing?
Sega is definitely. The new Sonic game looks cool.
They're still doing Sonic.
The game looks great. Sonic Forces looks awesome. But if you want to know what our predictions were, you can catch episode 19 of Gamer Heroes out now. And this week we will be recapping that, seeing what we got right, what we got wrong, and what we're excited about. So check us out, heroespodcasts.com. You can find us at Heroes Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. You can also find Gamer Heroes and Screen Heroes on Blog Talk Radio and Costume Couture on our YouTube channel. Ian, thanks for joining us and filling in.
You're welcome.
Ryan will be back next week. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.